It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Producing this disaster of a show and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's shaking, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Lots and lots of basketball, NIT Thursday night, women's final four Friday, men's final four Saturday, women's final Sunday. Men's final Monday. Did I get that right, Bri? There's baseball. I think I got that right.
I think you got it. You got it.
Oh, so much going on. We're a week out from the Masters, which is considered one of the top 25 tournaments in all of golf. Live, whatever you want to do, PGA. It's one of the big ones. But by the way, the only thing I want to talk about today is this Stefon Diggs trade. I hate it. I don't know what I don't like this Diggs character. I really don't. I don't know why it's bothering me. He doesn't play on my favorite team. He wasn't traded to a division rival. It's not like he went to Philly. So for those of you who don't know, Diggs was traded from the Bills to the Texans for a number two, for a 2025 number two. The Texans get Diggs and a 2024 fifth rounder and a sixth rounder. I'm not surprised he was traded. This is like finding out Gypsy Rose Blanchard dumped her husband after getting out of prison. But what a money grab this guy has perpetuated, Parlay Kid. First of all, if you look back at what the Bills did, first of all, they are walking away from $31 million. That is a huge dead cap hit right there. It's one of like the top five or six, I think, of all time. So if this guy, if you were going to measure pain in the ass scale, he's at the very top, right? Without committing any crimes, this is a guy they just want out, right? He blames the quarterback. He did it in Minnesota. He does it in Buffalo. His numbers don't match up, and I'm gonna get to them in a second. But here's what he demanded money-wise and draft picks-wise. The Bills traded for Diggs. They gave up a first, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. They gave him $78 million, number three most for any wide receiver. And now they have to eat $31 million. I'm going to take a break here, Parlay Kid, because this guy drives me nuts. And I think this screws the Texans. And it's not great for Buffalo. And I'll get to that in a minute. But what do you think of this trade?
Look, I think, you know, if you asked me this a couple weeks ago, I would have thought maybe Diggs was trying to make his way to Dallas to play with his brother. But I guess he got, I guess, I agree with that too. I'm glad he's not there. But I guess he got the second best option playing in the same state as his brother. I'm not as against this trade as maybe you are. I think Diggs, and I haven't been a huge fan of Diggs, even in his heyday, Sal. I've been saying I think he's been on the decline the last year or so.
There's no question about it.
Made a lot of big plays for Buffalo. I mean, maybe – would you say that's Allen? I don't know. Nobody throws the ball downfield more than Josh Allen. So I would think this, I think, is a win situation for the Bills, addition by subtraction in the long run. Does it really help either team? I'm not really sure. I think being that where Stroud is, do you want this type of receiver?
No.
Playing with a young quarterback who had a lot of success throwing to a lot of different receivers this year. What does Diggs think he's going to do in Houston? Is he going to go in and catch 100 passes this year?
Well, he's going to be pissed off.
I don't think
he's
so.
That's the problem.
When he doesn't get the ball. That's the problem. I know.
That's all he does.
That's the one thing I worry about the most for a team like the Texans. And now, too, if you're Buffalo, I mean, could you be competing with the Texans to make the playoffs, too? I'm surprised they didn't send him out of the division, out of the AFC, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll go over the odds in a second. But, Harry, one touchdown in his last 11 games for Diggs. 100-yard game. Last one was week 6. I'm not against the trade. I'm against how much this guy has benefited and what a pain in the ass he's going to be and maybe ruin C.J. Stroud's young career.
You mentioned he had issues in Minnesota, so they got him over to Buffalo. Now had problems there, too. This past season was his lowest receiving yard season since 2019. And he's going to have to know his role. That's going to be the bottom line because this Houston team is really good. They've made some great acquisitions in the offseason, getting Joe Mixon 4,000 yards and 45 touchdowns the last 3 years combined. They re-signed Schultz, who's got at least five touchdowns in 3 straight years. Grabbed Danielle Hunter coming off a career-high 16.5 sacks from Minnesota. Now Diggs is going to have to know his role. This team could be really good, but he can't screw things up.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at Josh Allen. So they're not doing him any favors. I don't like Diggs. He definitely didn't help them down the stretch. Maybe it was a good decoy. I have no idea. Currently, and I tweeted this, and people like, they're going to draft somebody. Yeah, I get it. But this is looking like the Giants wide receiving core right now. I know they have a late draft pick in the first round. They'll grab somebody, and you can tell us who might be available. Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, who had way better numbers than Diggs, Mac Hollins, Justin Shorter, KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella, Brian Thompson, Terrell Shavers. Those are the current Buffalo Bills wide receivers. Like I said, it looks like the Giants. I mean, obviously, he's got a lot more skills than Daniel Jones, but Bri, you don't worry about this. They have two good tight ends. You think they'll pick someone up in the draft?
Well, I think that's the thing, right? That you forget, right? They basically bring in a receiving tight end last year who's only going to get better. Yeah. Like you said, Shakir is good. They're going to bring in somebody in the draft. I'm sure they'll bring in another veteran here. I mean, does it hurt them short term? Sure, you could say it does. And then from a Houston side, it's weird. Like if you're, I kind of like, I know they were not healthy last year, especially late in the year, but I kind of like the Houston receiving core throughout the year, right? If you're Nico Collins, you're kind of pissed, right? Because you're like, I'm becoming the number one guy now. He was eighth in the receiving yards in the NFL last year. He only played 15 games. So he had some dominant games. Tank Dell being hurt was big for them.
Right.
You know, he'll be back. So as long as Diggs knows, and look, I think this is a short-term play, obviously, for them too. They could risk this because it's probably a 1 or 2 year thing here for the Texans. But as long as Diggs knows, like, look, you have to share, you know, you and Collins have to be 1A.
He's never been okay with that.
1A, 1B. But look, I know. But coming to a new team, when you have one of the best, you know, you're going to another one of the best quarterbacks in football already. So, you know, not too much you can complain about, but he will. He'll find a way. But
I'm looking at
it. It's interesting. It's an interesting
season awards. Josh Allen now went up to 8-1. It was still at plus 750. I'm like, what? This guy already does a ton and doesn't get the votes to be MVP. CJ Stroud went down from 12-1 to 10-1. But like I said, I don't think it helps. I'm looking at win totals. You know, Buffalo's didn't move, right? Harry said 10.5. It's still 10.5.
It didn't move. It's 10.5. And I can't believe, though, guys, it didn't move anywhere.
Right. I agree.
Diggs is no longer there. Still, again, had 1,000 yards or more all 4 seasons in Buffalo. So he's not there. You don't have your number 2 in Gabe Davis. And on the defensive end, Tre'Davious White, who, you know, was banged up the last 2 seasons, but still a Pro Bowler when he's in there, he's gone now officially. And it's Jordan Poyer as well.
They'll fill in, I think, but that division is all of a sudden interesting. And Houston is still at 9.5 wins. So nothing really changed. I don't know why I'm going nuts about this. Let's look at some of these. You know, a week ago, we were in Ireland, or I was trying to get there, Brother Bri, and they posted these over-unders. I feel like with the NFL, they're like, oh, man, we haven't made any noise in a while. We took that picture with the coaches together and everything, and we changed a couple rules that people don't seem to like. But we got, hey, FanDuel, go release the over-unders. Let's make a splash here. And so they did. and everyone went crazy. Baltimore, San Francisco, Kansas City all lead the way at 11.5. The Pats and Panthers, I had fun with Tate Frazier with this, are at 5.5. They're both at 5.5, which is great. Brian, which one surprises you? Which one jumps out? Not even the ones I mentioned, or are there some others that
Well, look, when I first saw it, I was very surprised by the Broncos at 5.5 here. The number's been overinflated for them for years, right? You jumped on them a couple years back to back. It's always been really high, right? And even last year it was pretty high. They win 8 games last season. Now it's 5.5. Do you think, like, it's weird for Sean Payton in his second season for it to be going down that low? Now, are they in a rebuild year? You could say no Judy, no Russ, but I don't see Sean Payton didn't come here for in his second year to be in full rebuild mode. So do you see Sean Payton winning 4 or 5 games? It just seems, awfully low based on the numbers we've seen. You could go through their depth chart. Maybe not great, but you know, depending on what they do here in the draft, who knows what they're going to do at quarterback. I still think they have enough where I was just surprised. I thought this was going to be at least 6.5. I may have even thought it could have been higher.
I'm trying to think, other teams not have a quarterback named yet? I mean, obviously the Bears, but they're going to get Caleb Williams, right? So that's why they are, I guess, as high as they are.
I guess so.
8.5.
Weird.
I mean, that's
weird.
Sort of expected. Parley Kid, you have the Bears as the one that freaks you out here.
Yeah, I was on the over for the Bears last year, and it did go over the 6.5, barely cleared that number, but it did go over. I think this 8.5, I think that's high with a rookie quarterback coming in and kind of starting all over. My guess is it's maybe inflated. The Bears have made some upgrades at other positions, but it really comes down to the quarterback play. And I guess maybe they're just expecting Williams to do what some of the rookies did this year. I would think it could be the opposite. And we might see that this year, the quarterback struggling out of the gate. Williams is going to have to get used to playing in a much colder environment eventually there in Chicago, which he has never really done before as well. So, I just don't see Williams. I'm not super high on Williams. That's just me. I mean, obviously, I'm not the guy that really should make the call on that. I just don't see him winning right out of the gate like a Stroud did this year. And Stroud surprised me too, but I just don't see the Bears as having that type of team that they're going to go. Are they going to go 9-8 this year? Really? They're going to go over that too. Number? I don't think that's going to happen. So a lot of teams, you know, Green Bay, et cetera, is obviously on the rise. Detroit is very good. Oh, that's a high number. I didn't like
it. Yeah, Detroit's 10.5 in that division, and Green Bay's 9.5 in that division. So the Bears are the favorite. I'm looking at, is there anyone else who we don't know who their quarterback is? I guess Washington, right? But even with them, they made them 6.5. Is there any other team?
Patriots.
Patriots, I guess. Okay, so that's why they're 5.5.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. And who's your team, Bryant, your quarterback? You don't know.
Minshew. I mean, you know, that's not
to hear you say it.
Well, it's not like Minshew. That's not necessarily definite. I mean, unless they do something, they could do something in draft. They could surprise.
The ones I wanted that jumped out at me, I wrote down Atlanta 9.5. I think Atlanta's always too high. I don't know why. I think they were 8.5 last year. And I think the Colts are 8.5 at 8.5 or too high. Now, I know they were right in there at the end of the regular season, knocking down the door there, and they get Anthony Richardson back. And then I thought, I'm not even going to bring it up because these South teams screw me over and over and over. Every year I say, I'm not going to get involved. And for some reason, I jumped on the Saints and your old quarterback, Derek Carr, there, and they killed me. So I'm not going to say anything. You know what? Atlanta 9.5, fine. Colts 8.5, great. That works out. I don't know what else to say. Harry, you had the Bills at 10.5 before this trade even went down as a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, Bills had to do everything in their power last year, win the last 5 games of the regular season, scrape and claw to get to 11 wins. Now 10.5, and like I said, you're down your first and second receivers. What are you going to do now offensively? It's going to be a big question. Buffalo, and also I thought Pittsburgh at 7.5 was very interesting. Yeah. I mean, this team won – 10 last year. They didn't win 8. They didn't win 9. They won 10 with Pickett, Rudolph, and Trubisky. Now you got Wilson, who Brian mentioned, won 8 games in Denver last year, and you got Fields just in case. Tomlin always wins at least 8 games, and when the dust clears at the end of the season, the best free agent pickup out there, at least defensively, might be grabbing Patrick Queen from Baltimore for Pittsburgh. So 7.5, got to get to 8 to have the win. I love that.
And they got a kick returner who could really screw up the new rules here.
That is really weird. That is really weird, though.
It is strange. And so when they're 8.5, every year they're 8.5, right?
Yeah.
And I'd go at it with Damashek. I'm like, all right, one of these years, Tomlin's not going to be over 500. So you got to put that. But 7.5, my God. I'm looking
at the running game was great at the end of the season, too, Sal. Really good.
So they have the AFC West, it looks like, in the NFC East. But you're getting, I think you take a game away because you're getting Burrow back in that division is the only thing. But still,
it's a tough division.
7.5. 7.5 is tough. All right, listen, let's take a quick break. I'm still wound up about the Stefon Diggs thing. I don't know why, really. And then he's like on social media, like kind of crapping on Allen. Like it's really, really weird. We're going to go. We got plays of the day in NBA when we return. All right, NBA news. Embiid came back. What was that? Tuesday night, 24-6-7 versus the Thunder. I don't know if it makes much of a difference. They're 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference. There's no Philly bet I like in here with Embiid back. Already questionable for tonight's game against the Heat. Bri's going to have more to say on that. And that actually is a big one for the 7-8, right? So right now, as it is, Philly has the 8 locked up because their magic number to clinch no worse than 8 is 1, right? So I think they're kind of locked in that 7-8 there. They're not getting out of there. Bright, play of the day, you're taking the Heat. You don't even know if Embiid's playing at this point.
Yeah, look, I don't know for sure, but I'm taking the Heat at -2.5. That's the line we got going right now on FanDuel here. But look, a really big game for both of these teams, right? They both have a chance to get into the 6th spot. Heat technically, I mean, they could technically jump into the 5th spot when the Knicks are. But I like the Heat here. Look, they've won 3 straight. They were pain in the ass against the Knicks the other night, which is typical for them, especially at this time of year. I think, you know, this seems to be what we see from the Heat, right? Recently, late in the season, where they just play well. And like Embiid, he went 29 minutes the last game. He's likely not going more than 30 minutes. Maxey didn't play the last game. He's banged up, so you don't know exactly with him either. So give me the Heat -2.5 at home. And even though I did want to say too, I didn't mention it to you guys, but I put a lot of money. I know this is going against this is something different, but I put a lot of money on the Mavs, Harry's Mavs the other day. Got crushed. Crushed. I got crushed. They didn't get it. It was close
game. Yeah. Did you see the last 15 seconds of the game?
Yeah.
How out of it? Thompson took 5 steps. 5 steps getting the ball in bounds, and they don't call it.
That's not allowed. You're supposed to do 6, right?
I guess it's 6 or 7. 5 steps, and they don't call it.
The Sixers are sick, locked.
Darren. Terrible. I knew Darren was asleep, but.
I don't think the Sixers get that. In favor of your pick here, they have a shot to get the 6. I think the Sixers, a game and a half out of the 6 with 6 left, and it's probably rough. Sitting Embiid a couple of those games, let's face it. Yeah. I think they're all right at the 8. I think they're just fine. Those are the internal talks. All right, Harry, you like the Knicks. Knicks are a tough team to gauge this time of year, I think.
Yeah, let's go, Brian and Darren. Let's snap this 3-game losing streak. I'm going to take the Knicks -3.5. 3 weeks ago, they won a defensive struggle in Sacramento by a score of 98-91. They held the Kings just 35% shooting. This is New York's only home game in a 6-game span. And obviously, they're fighting for that number 3 seed in the East. New York has had the Kings number at the Garden of late in the last 3 games between these two in the Garden. The Knicks have won those games by 13, 20, and 19. Knicks break this 3-game losing streak. They cover the 3.5 now.
All right, Parley Kid, you have an over-under here. Mavericks, they're putting up big points.
And I rarely take an over-under here, but we're going to take this Atlanta Mavs game over 230.5 points. When I asked Harry about guessing the line for this, He thought it would be more like 240 or over. And Harry's
don't
pretty
ever
good.
Listen to him. Don't
well, I have
ever,
to say he is
him.
Pretty good with the over unders when it comes to at least maybe not picking them, but naming them about what they're going to be around.
I'll take it. I'll take
He's pretty good at that.
It's so like he can name kids, but you wouldn't want him to raise any.
But
he's good at looking at them and saying,
that's so true. You nailed it right there. And the bottom line is the last time these two teams played, Sal, in a four-quarter regulation game, 291 points were scored. Luka dropped 73. And the Mavs' last four out of five home games, they finally return home here. They've scored 120-plus more points. And in the Hawks, three out of their last four away games, they've scored over 120 points. This equals a high-scoring game. 230 seems a little low here, Sal. And Mavericks also, after scoring 100 points against the Warriors a few nights back, they rebound offensively here in a big way. This goes over the 230.5.
All right. I am going to take Rockets Warriors here. Rockets are home getting 3.5. They're fighting off. Warriors are fighting off the Rockets for that 10th, 11th spot there. The Warriors have won 5 in a row. The Rockets have lost 2 in a row after winning 8 straight. The Warriors have a 3-game lead plus the tiebreaker. And yet I'm going Houston. I mean, everything seems too easy for Golden State now. Draymond's behaving the other night against, I think it was San Antonio, 21-6 and 11 assists. That's crazy. I have Golden State to make the playoffs, which is why I'm saying everything seems too easy. That I took with a minus in front of it. It's currently plus 240 that they're going to get out of that 9-10 mess. But I do think for one night, the Rockets play a little tough after losing too. They've won 5 of the last 6 at home. Jalen Green, 23-5-5. Just give me the 3.5 points right there. All right, listen, let's take another break. Then we're going to go over college basketball. We're going to take a look at the line, see if they've moved at all, the men's division, and then women's, Bri. You're going. You're off.
I'm going. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. We'll talk about that in a second. All right, men's Final Four. Now, we're going to give our picks on the next podcast / TV show, FanDuel TV. It's called Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. It's right here on the Against the Odds feed. You can catch that starting Friday morning. I'll tell you the lines right now, not really moved. Purdue, 9.5-point favorite over NC State. 146.5 is the over-under. UConn, 11.5 and 160.5. That is Alabama. That's fun. Go to FanDuel. They have all sorts of stuff. They have hypothetical matchups. They have, you could bet, most outstanding player. We're going to go over that. Also on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. What else do they have, Harry? I can't think.
Oh, man. You name it.
Okay, you name it. That's it. Yeah, that's what they have. Now, Final Four specials, that biggest blowout. They have closest game, the highest scoring team, lowest scoring team. Get all that. They have high score. Now, we didn't do that, Parlay Kid. Zach Edey is plus 195 to win most outstanding player. Like I said, we'll go over that tomorrow. Top scorer, though, minus 185. Just got to win. And put, man, that's he's going to have one pretty good game, right? Unless they got upset. Minus 185, not bad.
Unless they call a foul or travel.
Oh, stop. Stop.
That's a pretty good one, Sal. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good one. Brian, good you like good it? Call. I don't know. I'm looking interesting. Newton is 8-1, Klingon is 12-1, and Spencer 12-1.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, those guys have to, like, UConn spreads the wealth, right?
So exactly.
It's kind of tough for a UConn guy. You know, somebody could have, Newton could have 20-20 back to back.
Yeah.
You know, he could go for 40, but is that enough for Edey if he goes for 30 in game one? It's
Parlay Kid, do a parlay. Let me see if they let you do this. UConn to win. Let's see. UConn to win and Edey to have.
Edey
to have. They'll let you parlay.
Where?
I thought they would. All right, there you go. So I'll just bet them separately. So anyway, that's the men's. The women's side, South Carolina is the favorite. Like I said, Brother Bri, you're going to be there. You're driving, what, 73 hours?
About. It's I'm lucky if, you know, I'm lucky if I can get there in like 8.5 hours, I feel like.
All right.
It's like 8 to 10. Parlay Kid and I did it. We drove to the wrestling championships, I think, in 2019. But my God, that was a disaster because we left at like 11 o'clock at night. We're driving through snow. Part of the kid was falling asleep.
I remember you guys complaining about it.
It's awful.
What could go wrong when you leave at 11 o'clock at night?
I know. We had to hit the Buffalo route because we had to go pick up Mikey Meatballs first. So this will be a little shorter for Brian.
All right, yep. Brian, don't pick up Mikey Meatballs. He's here in California. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorite, 139.5 versus NC State. This is Friday night, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I'm going South Carolina big here. They rely heavily on second chance points, and they're going to get them, I think. Once you get to the Final Four, get tight, you know, tight shooting on both ends. So if they get they're the team with the second chance points. I love them, and you're not going to stop Camilo Cardozo on the boards. They average nearly 34 points a game from their reserves. They're just built for this tournament. They really are. And they owe me from a big loss last year in this spot. Do it for me, Don Staley, 78-60. Brian, I know you're going to tell us about the next game, but you have a score for this one?
I'm taking this game here. I'm gonna go NC State plus 6.5 Sal in the first half. Look, I've told you I liked South Carolina before the tournament to cut down the nets, but I think the line is a little bit too much, you know. And I think if NC State's gonna catch them, it's gonna be in the first half, especially in this game. Maybe South Carolina starts off a little slow. But what I will say is NC State, out of all the teams, the most impressive team in the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 was NC State. I mean, they pretty much handled Stanford and Texas with ease. And I thought Texas was definitely the best team coming out of that bracket. So I wasn't expecting that. And then you look before that, right? They beat Tennessee the round before that. And Tennessee has caused South Carolina problems multiple times this year. So NC State's guard play with Jones and Rivers is really good. And they have a lot of size. I mean, the second shortest person that's going to be out on the floor as a guard is going to be 6 foot there for NC State. So they have enough size to match up with them decently. But I worry about the second half. So you're going to give me NC State close early. So I'll take the 6.5.
Okay. Again, Brian's going to be there. So say hi if you see him. Iowa, Caitlin Clark, 2.5-point favorite, 162.5. Against UConn, this is the heavyweight matchup. This is going to be good. Paige and Caitlin going at it. Parlay Kid, you're taking UConn, spoiling the ratings bonanza Sunday night if UConn pulls off the slight upset.
Well, I don't really care about the ratings that much. But at the same time, Sal, I don't know if the ratings are going to suffer too much to see UConn in that championship.
I think
game.
They will. I think it cuts in half. I do.
Really?
I think it's kind of what I we agree. Saw last week. 13 million to 7 million, which is what it was.
Connecticut's not a number one seed anymore. It's okay.
Yeah, well, look, it's been a while for UConn. They obviously it's been what, Bri, since the last time they won? 2016? Has it been that long? I mean, it sounds crazy because it just doesn't seem like it should be that long.
Yeah, Notre Dame in there, right? A few years. Yeah.
So, but look, again, ratings are going to be, I got to pick a winner here. And I think everybody is on Iowa, right? Everybody I know is on Iowa. So I'll just go the other way here against a team that has been thriving as of late. Getting premier play. But to me, Sal, the person I'm really betting here is the coaching. That's where I'm going. I think there's going to be a great game plan. Gino Auriemma is going to have a great game plan against Caitlin Clark. I still think she'll get some of her points, but I definitely think compared to maybe the way other teams have planned against her, I think this guy's going to have his team totally prepared. It's impossible to say to shut her down, but to limit her more than she's been limited over this season. And I think that's going to propel you. I think they're going to try to make where some teams say, well, look, the star is going to get their points. Let's just limit everybody else to what they get. I think it's the opposite here, where they're going to be like, we're not going to let Caitlin Clark beat us. We're going to let option number two or option number three, 4 or 5 beat us. And I think that's going to be the difference. It'll be Auriemma's game plan here. So let's take UConn. I'm taking UConn. I'm getting 2.5. Heck, I should take them just to win.
Harry, you're going over this big number here. 162.5.
Darren doesn't give that much analysis during Cowboys games.
I mean, that was Yankees level. That was Yankees the first week.
That was Yankee Volpe level, definitely.
So, Volpe level. Oh, so, my gosh.
So give me I'm going to go the over. I'm going to go over 162.5 here. 9 of Iowa's last 10 games, they've scored 89 or more. These two met last year, went over that 162.5 number. Paige Beckers has been a force in this tournament and all season. 3 double-doubles in 4 games here. Both stars get their points here. I'm going over 162.5, guys.
Brian, what's the best Caitlin Clark prop here? Total points is 33.5. They're not screwing with that anymore. They raised that.
Yeah.
Assist 9.5. Rebound 6.5. And by the way, you can bet the under on all these too, which is not something.
Yeah, I would go over 9.5 assists.
Over 9.5 assists.
Yeah.
There is a number for her triple double too, which is if you like plus 450.
Interesting.
If you like the 9.5 assists.
Yeah, well, I think the last game, I think her hitting like 9 3-pointers, I think was about plus 4 something.
It's interesting. I know there's a difference, of course. It's a couple shots, 3 shots maybe. 35 or more points, plus 104. 40 or more points, plus 320.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. If you're going to
take you got to get that. You're taking the over anyway.
Yeah.
If
they're winning that game by, 4-6, get those extra free throws at the end. It's happened a couple times now.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Those numbers were $12.3 million for Iowa LSU. Mm. More than any women's CBB game ever. This is from Joe Pompliano. More than the 2023 NBA Finals, the 2023 World Series, the Orange Bowl, the Big Ten Championship, the Cotton Bowl, the Pac-12 Championship, the Big 12 Championship, the ACC Champ, the Peach Bowl, Thursday Night Football. Well, that kid, but okay. Because it's streaming? I don't know. All right.
Yeah, because it's Amazon. Sure.
Every 2023 college football regular season game except Ohio State, Michigan. That's insane. Yeah, they need her parlay kid for this. They need her. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I get it. Paige is good. That'd be fun, but we'll check it out. All right, listen, take another break and then baseball. Yuck. All right, Yankees lost finally, and then they won today. That sucked. Mm. I wanted to have a little bit of a two-game losing streak. Would have been fun. The Mets were rained out 2 days in a row. What a relief it is. And I was talking to Mikey Meatball. I was like, we just keep getting rained out. We'll only end up with 4 losses, which is pretty good on the year, right? You get rained out till October.
It won't stop raining here. Oh,
really?
We don't just get showers anymore. We get...
No,
it is. It's just downpour.
Keep living out there. Keep living over there.
That's it.
The other thing that happened, my big bet. I mean, you could tell this is my big bet because I talked about it for like 3 podcasts straight. Under 11.5 players to have 3 or more home runs this year. Bro, come on, Bryce Harper. What are you doing? What are you doing to me? It's barely April. You hit one.
Yeah, I want one
per month. Here,
right. You didn't want the one that early,
you're fine,
right?
Because Sal, you're fine.
Because now you're worried, you're like, crap, are we gonna get 3 by the end of April? I know.
Look at the calendar. It's gotta be less.
What was the number you had it at?
Well, it was 13.5, then it went to 11.5.
Yeah, but you said 13.5. You got it at 13.5.
I bet both though.
You feel good about that. You're fine. I know we got a no-hitter and 3 home run game already, though.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, good times. All right, let's do Shark Tank, fellas. You guys give me a bet, and I'm going to jump on one of them, not 2 or 3 of them. Harry, you were rolling with the soccer. You really were. You didn't know what to do with yourself.
I was 4-1, then had 4 leg last week and had over 1.5. And like I mentioned that in Bet Aches the other day, that I had over 1.5 and didn't get there because – Barcelona couldn't score 2 goals, even though they were man up at 24 minutes. But anyways, listen, I'm going to do
I hit both my soccer. It couldn't be easy, Man City and Arsenal today. My God.
Right.
It's going to be a basketball team that screws me tonight. Yeah, go ahead.
The first time in 6 weeks, I'm off of soccer. I'm going to stick to college basketball. I'm going to do a 3-team money line parlay. I'm taking the UConn men. I'm taking the Iowa women, and I'm taking the South Carolina women. That three-team Moneyline Parlay pays plus 105. UConn men, obviously, 10 straight double-digit tournament wins for the Huskies, so give me them over in that game. Let me take Dawn Staley, South Carolina squad. They're undefeated with basically a new starting five from last year. They're 4-0 this year against ACC teams. Against those ACC teams, they won by about 140 points combined. And a great run by UConn women. But Caitlin Clark can't be stopped. And Sal, you're right. They got to have her. So give me Iowa to win that game, too. That three pays plus 105.
Well, I don't know if that's what they're going to do. All right. I noticed you picked a lot of basketball games, but not against Purdue. Very interesting. Right? Not against the Purdue men.
Look, you know.
You picked like every other game. You really did.
Well, yeah. Listen, we'll see what happens in that game. We'll see.
Okay. All right, we're going to see what happens. Brian, you have Iowa, UConn over that 162 and
a half. Yeah, look.
You know you're on with Harry here.
Well, I know. It's funny. When I guess when Harry sent his pick, it was like so close to under his name. I must have missed that he was actually going over the 162 and a half. So, yeah, I'm not feeling great. I think when Harry and I are on the same pick, it doesn't work out too well.
Win.
Yeah. But yeah, but look, I like the 162 and a half here. And the fact that I am going to this game, right? This is the bet I want. I will tell you, because my daughter, it's funny, my daughter, her favorite team's UConn. Paige Beckers is really her favorite player. But she likes all of these teams. You know, she likes to watch in South Carolina. You know, obviously she's got a million Caitlin Clark shirts here. So I feel like going to the game, I'll be honest, I should be putting the biggest bet possible on this game.
Yeah.
But I really feel like I cannot pick a side. I told you guys the other day,
right?
I don't want to go against Caitlin here, but like to Parley Kid's point, you know, Oriema might have a good game plan. They played well against them last year without Paige in that game. Right. They were able to slow her down. So if there is an Aaliyah Edwards over prop at some point here, I would take that. Take that in this game. I think she'll have a big game here. But look, if Iowa can put up 94 on LSU, they can, and they scored a ton on Ohio State multiple times this year. And Ohio State has some really good defenders out there. They just play it. They force you to play at such a fast pace. So I still think they're going to get their points. I just don't know if Iowa's necessarily going to be able to stop UConn offensively. And like I said, between Paige and Aaliyah Edwards here, I think I hope this game is, you know, 90-88 or some overtime game. But yeah, it's funny when you think back of this, Sal, like just a few years ago, like Paige Beckers, she was the biggest thing to come into basketball in forever. So for her, you know, she needs, you know, if she can outplay Caitlin in this game, which is hard because she doesn't like to shoot as much as Caitlin does. I mean, she can get her name right back on the map with a win here over Caitlin. All of a sudden, you know, that's the only thing I would say is when you talk about ratings, if she has a monster game, flips to her a little bit, still going to be really big ratings on that side.
It'll especially be big against, comparatively. Nice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Still great. Looking at it, it's
like Bigfoot, honestly.
Yes,
like
yes.
The 12 million numbers.
Exactly.
All right, Parley Kid. Oh, well, I don't know. It's like you're going to the sissy UFC after we're talking.
Yeah, I don't know. I really might switch. I might, after all this talk.
We don't need more talk if you don't want.
Well, you know what? Like fine. I said, I do. I'm leaning towards like saying, you know what? I'm going to take the Caitlin Clark under. What did you say it was? 33 and a half points.
Yeah, I didn't. No, they. It's 35 and a half, right?
33
and a half. Yeah, 33 and a half. Yeah. It's not a fun route. It really isn't when no one's guarding that left hip.
Yeah, I understand that. But whatever. All right. Remember I said that under. It's not going to be my sharp tank. By the way, Billy Horschel, look out for him in the Valero Open this week.
Oh.
I'm starting to ramp up for my golf picks. Watch for Horschel, 35-1. Probably take him top 20 or top 10. He's going to
need some soccer picks from me.
He's going to light it up.
No,
Sal, I'm going UFC. UFC. This card stinks. It absolutely stinks. But it should stink because we got the big 300 next weekend. So why not? I'm going to take Brendan Allen, Sal, over Chris Curtis by decision at plus 270. This is a five-round fight. Curtis beat him a few years back by submitting him in the second round. I think Allen has learned his lesson. He's 8 years younger than Curtis, but Curtis is a veteran, has a lot of fights in the ring. Allen is, I wouldn't say he's an up-and-comer anymore. I think he is what he is, slightly above average, but Curtis on the downside of his career, but enough, has enough left in the tank to make Allen go the distance here. Plus, Allen, because he got submitted once already, is maybe not going, is going to stay away a little bit more than he would if he was fighting an unknown fighter. So let's take Allen to win by decision at plus 270. It gives me some interest in this card where I really have none.
All right. I'm going to go with Bry's pick, UConn, Iowa. Oh, it's Harry's too. Yeah, that's right. All right, but I'm going, okay, I'll go with it over 162.5. Cool. He's going to be there. His little girl's favorite team playing. What could go wrong? Bry's going to have big, big bucks on this. They're going to have the hitchhike home. If this doesn't hit over 162.5. That's the winner right there. I gotta give Mikey Meatball some crap here. We gotta talk to him about this. My hockey pick, I put in, we liked Austin Matthews to win the what was it, the Hart?
The Hart, yes.
Of course now they don't have the, wait, they do they have, oh no, they didn't, wait, where is it? Well, he's like 22-1 now to win the Hart.
Nuts.
Wow.
That was like 2 weeks ago. He's 18-1. All right. Mm. But that remember, Paulie Kidd, you were going Matthews, McKinnon, lots of West Coast team score, blah, blah, blah.
Who's the favorite right now?
Nathan McKinnon is minus 340.
Wow. What now, a number.
Michael, if you want to follow him again, it sounds like you like Kucherov's numbers at plus 460, right?
Yeah, I think 340, I think it's a little too high for McKinnon.
Yeah, and how many games are left? It's got a little more than NBA, right? It's got like 9 or 10.
Not much. Games? It's maybe at the most, maybe eight. less. Eight. Yeah,
some are less.
Well, Austin Matthews wasn't that bad, and he didn't miss games. What the hell happened here?
What happened? That's a good question. What do his stats look like, Sal? Right now,
I looked at his last.
He just scored his 63rd goal tonight.
Right, I know.
Well, what?
Well, no, McKinnon has 127 points though.
I know.
I mean.
Yeah, Matthews is going to end up with over 100. Well, Mike, to preface it, Mikey Meatball did say 70 goals was the magic number for Matthews. I mean, he's seven away. He's going to have to average one a game here down the stretch.
I don't know if
that
gets him there at 18-1 because McKinnon's not going to stop.
And I don't think it's too far. It's too far. He won't.
But,
no. Yeah.
By the way,
he's got four goals in the last four games, I guess, but I don't know. I guess it took a little time.
I think
there.
McKinnon, didn't we talk about, there was a prop bet at one point that McKinnon would have a point in every home game, right? Or every remaining home game.
Right. He didn't do it.
But the Rangers broke it last week.
Right. Harry, I don't know what happened. You were reporting on our March picks for most points in the NHL in March.
Yeah.
We heard it every 3 hours we got an update. And then you don't even hit us with the
was
final
results.
Was
it Vancouver?
Results?
Harry, was it Vancouver?
No, it's Nashville.
Oh, right. Nashville had that great winning streak. You're right.
Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder
what
winning streak.
What were their odds? Do you remember?
Well, I don't remember. I don't know.
Theirs were probably pretty good.
Barry Trotz. That's Barry Trotz's magic over there.
Your guide.
Yeah, I know he's the GM, but that guy, what a magician. Man, the Islanders lost out on that guy. He should be their GM.
I feel like we've said enough. We talked about Nate McKinnon. We talked about Chris Curtis. We talked about Dawn Staley.
Even mentioned Billy Horschel.
Right. Jalen Green. Billy Horschel made it.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why we brought up Embiid. That's too big a name. But we've got to talk about Stefan Diggs. Let's pull the plug on this. Listen, Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Tomorrow, though, these guys, we will pick the men's Final Four. We'll have the most outstanding player picked. We're going to have some FanDuel specials to pick. We're going to talk to the great Clark Kellogg. That's all on Cousin Sal's winning weekend, Friday morning. FanDuel TV are right here if you want to listen on Against All Odds feed. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs in the D3, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.